Cascade Dramas present The World's Worst Mother-in-Law. This week's front page drama, The World's Worst Mother-in-Law, is a dramatization of a feature article of historical interest entitled Looking for the Bones of the World's Worst Mother-in-Law. This unusually interesting article appears in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. While Britain's war with Germany goes on, Miss Margaret Newbold, archaeologist, is excavating an English battlefield of almost 2,000 years ago. Under the dust of 20 centuries, she hopes to find the remains of Cartamandor, England's traitorous queen, and the world's worst mother-in-law who betrayed her son-in-law, the heroic chieftain Caractacus, to the Romans. Remorse overcame the evil queen on her deathbed, and she asked to be buried on the site where her brave son-in-law fought his last battle. It is the story of Queen Cartamandor, her ambition and her treachery that will unfold in this front page drama. Queen Cartamandor was every inch a queen, a tall, stately blonde that made the short, swarthy Roman conquerors gape in awe. She was queen of the Brigantes, and instead of opposing, she made peace with the Romans under Ostorius, the Roman governor of Britain. And there was a reason which the queen confided to one of her ladies-in-waiting.
Yes, Venetia. My days are filled with a longing time, and my nights filled with dreams of him. Yet there is no hope for me.
Are you sure, my lady, there is no hope for you? Perhaps if you were to bestow some great favor upon the Roman governor, you could win his confidence and goodwill.
There is but one way, Venetia, and if that could be accomplished, I would achieve the greatest of my ambitions. According to one of the Roman scholars who came here with the Roman Emperor Claudius, there is a story of a queen in a far-off land called Egypt, who, through her beauty and beguiling manner, won the heart of the greatest of all Romans.
And you, my lady, would like to win the heart of the Roman governor Ostorius?
That is but part of my ambition. Many of our small kingdoms still wage a foolish civil war against the Romans. If I could convince these kingdoms of the utter futility of such wars and bring them together into one united nation in peace, I could then go to the Roman Ostorius, make peace with him, and offer him the governorship of our nation.
And share the throne with the Romans?
Why not? Am I not desirable? I have seen the effect of my duty upon the Romans. Aye, even their great warrior, Ostorius.
My lady's plan is indeed a most ambitious one. But where to begin? That's the question. Perhaps the great Roman would think more kindly of my lady if she first conquered her own family.
You speak of my son-in-law, the chieftain Caractacus, of the Silures? He is a fool. A mad fool.
But a most brave one withal. Even the Romans admit his bravery and prowess in battle. Many of the tribes to the north have rallied to his cause. And there is rumor of a great battle to be fought against the Romans.
Let me hear no more of Caractacus, or I shall begin to suspect your loyalty and sympathy is divided between your rightful queen and this mad and vicious son-in-law.
Nay, my lady, I swear my allegiance is yours alone.
Tell me, what do you know of this great battle that rumor says is to take place soon?
A messenger from the army of Caractacus carried here on his way to the camp of the Achaeans, and told us that Caractacus had built a fortress on the high ground of Caer Caradoc. It is built as the Romans build, and will hold the Roman army at bay.
Then I will advise the Roman governor Ostorius of this plan. This may be the favor I may win him with. Send for a messenger.
It is too late, my lady. Even now a great Roman force under Ostorius moves on to Caer Caradoc to engage the army of Caractacus.
What are those shouts that disturb the peace of my court? Go, Venetia, find out the cause of the trouble.
Unhand me, you fools! What time is it of an enemy?
So, it is you, Caractacus. And what brings you here to disturb my peace?
I have fled before the Roman horde. We have defeated my brave men in battle at Caer Caradoc. I have come to ask your hospitality.
You are jeopardizing the safety of my subjects by coming here. We are at peace with the Romans now, and you come here and ask me to violate our harmonious relations by harboring an enemy of the Romans?
I am of your own flesh and blood, a Briton, a free man. A man who dares to oppose the Romans and fight for freedom.
You talk like a fool. You've been fighting the Romans for years, and what have you achieved? Nothing but bloodshed, death, and disastrous defeat.
That is because we have not been fighting the Romans with their own tactics and their own weapons. I have profited by my experience. I know that if we make the same equipment, train our men to fight as the Romans fight, plan as they plan, it will take time, but we will win. We will storm every Roman castle in Britain. Promise me your aid, and I will give you victory.
You paint nothing but a dreary prospect for the future. You have lost now, and you ask me to wait perhaps a year for victory. Then, if you should win, I would be an old woman, too old to enjoy the fruits of victory. No, I will have none of it.
Then you will not afford me the shelter of your court?
Yes. Today you may rest, have food and drink. Tonight you may sleep, but you must depart with the rising sun. Now leave me. I wish to be alone and peace. I send to you, my faithful captain, because I want you to fulfill an important mission.
You have but to speak the word, my lady, and I will obey.
Well spoken, my loyal captain. Now here is my order. Wait until my son-in-law, Caractacus, is fast asleep tonight. Then take six of our strongest and most loyal warriors. Go to the place where Caractacus lies sleeping. Go quietly, so that you do not awaken him first. Take the stoutest chains and strongest rope. Seize him and bind him securely.
It shall be done as you have ordered, my lady.
Have your chariot and horses ready for a journey. When you have made Caractacus prisoner, place him in the chariot and bring him with all haste to the camp of the Roman governor Osturius, but I shall await your coming.
Before the sun reaches its height at midday, I will deliver the prisoner to you, my lady.
Go now, and fail me not, loyal captain.
The treacherous plans of the queen were carried out to the letter, and by morning the queen was delivering her own son-in-law to the Roman governor.
See, O noble Osturius, again I bring you proof of my constant loyalty. For have I not delivered to you your most powerful and dreaded enemy?
For which I am truly grateful, fair Cartimandua.
And this is but a small token of the esteem I hold for you. You have won my love and devotion, noble Osturius. You have but say the word, and I will unite all the tribes of Britain into one peaceful nation, and deliver them to you to rule as a Caesar. Say that you share my affection, and all Britain shall be yours. Then, with such a triumph, you might return to Rome in glory, as the great Caesar did when he ruled as emperor.
You are a vain and treacherous woman, Cartimandua. But you are dangerously ambitious, and must one day pay for your treachery. As for myself, I am grateful for your help, because it helps the cause of Rome, but I hold no affection for you. I promise only to protect you from the vengeance of your people, as long as you remain an ally to our cause.
Do not decide in haste, noble Osturius. Do not spurn my offer, but think well of the future before deciding. Remember, all Britain can be yours, and with it, power and glory.
I seek not power and glory for myself, but only for Rome and the Emperor. Your beauty may well be desirable, for you are fair to look upon. Your heart is filled with ambition, treachery, and self-glory. There can be no love in such a woman. Ah, I weary of such talk. Begone, Cartimandua. Return to your people.
Very well, noble Osturius. I shall not weary you further. But remember, there is always the future. You will find yourself hard-pressed in conquering Britain and in need of the power which I have to offer. But then you must come.
Having firmly but politely declined the offer of the treacherous queen, Osturius sent the captive chieftain Caractacus, together with his wife, daughter, and a large consignment of captives and British chariots and arms to Rome as a tribute to the Emperor Claudius. According to the Roman historian Tacitus, the captive chieftain Caractacus, bearing himself as proudly as the Emperor Claudius, delivered the following speech from the throne.
If to my birth and distinguished rank, I have added the virtues of moderation. Rome had beheld me rather as a friend than a captain. And you would not have rejected an alliance with a prince descended from illustrious ancestors and governing many nations. The reverse of my fortune to you is glorious, and to me humiliating. I had arms and men and horses. I possess extraordinary riches. And can it be any wonder that I am unwilling to lose them? Because Rome aspires to universal domination, must men therefore implicitly resign themselves to subjugation? I opposed for a long time the progress of your arms. And had I acted otherwise, would either you have had the glory of the conquest or I of a brave resistance? I am now in your power. If you are determined to take revenge, my fate will soon be forgotten, and you will derive no honor from the transaction. Preserve my life, and I shall remain to the latest ages a monument to your clemency.
Well spoken, most noble Caractacus. You have touched my heart with the power of your oratory and the great dignity of your manner. It is not well for one so proud to be kept captive. Therefore, I shall order the shackles struck to your limbs. You shall be free to return to your homeland and rule as a prince.
So the heroic Caractacus returned to England and ruled his people in peace. His treacherous mother-in-law, in the meantime, had carried her ambition too far so that even her own people turned against her. And later she died, a tragic figure, and was buried on the site of the battlefield of the son-in-law she so ignobly betrayed. You have just heard The World's Worst Mother-in-Law, a radio dramatization of a feature article of historical interest entitled Looking for the Bones of the World's Worst Mother-in-Law, which is now appearing in the American Weekly. See this and all the other splendid stories, articles, and feature fictions to be found in each issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Stage Dramas present Christmas Ghost. This week's Front Page drama, Christmas Ghost, is a dramatization of a feature story of the same name to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And with this Christmas Week edition, the publishers of the American Weekly cordially extend the season's greetings to its millions of readers, as well as to the listeners to these weekly front page dramas. Christmas time would not be complete without a good Christmas ghost yarn. It is as seasonal as roast goose and plum pudding. So in keeping with tradition, we are presenting a modern, up-to-date Christmas ghost story. Well, to begin by paraphrasing the opening line of the familiar poem,